meeting of the Central Business District Historic District Landmarks Commission Architectural Review Committee. First item on the agenda, is roll call. Ashley King, present. Lee Ledbetter, present. Robbie Cangelosi, absent. John Klingman, present. We have three members constituting a quorum. The first item on the agenda are the minutes from last month's meeting. Would anyone like to make a motion to approve the minutes?
To approve.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. The next application is 329 North Diamond Street.
And thank you guys, as always, for your time this morning. The project's located on North Diamond Street. It's a through lot that goes through North Diamond to the St. Joseph Street side. If you guys had looked at the site next door last month, it's currently occupied by the remains of a metal frame warehouse building. There's some pictures in your packet if the screen is not cooperating. And so it's currently being used as a surface parking lot. Fairly underutilized at this time. The proposal that you guys have before you today is for a new construction, small scale hotel project with two lease areas at the ground floor and a lobby area, guest amenity area at the ground floor. We've also incorporated off-street loading, which is on the St. Joseph side, which we feel is a little bit more amenable to that usage. The Diamond Street side just didn't feel right as far as any sort of loading or unloading or building servicing. So one of the things that we looked at, guys, initially in the first page of the packet, Diamond Street's a fairly unique architectural texture within New Orleans in that, and I think it's largely guided by the narrow cladding along both sides of that median strip or neutral ground strip that's between it. And that gives it this very sort of vertical type, almost townhouse-like scale, which I think is, after talking with staff, is really the what I would call like the increment of the urbanism of this street. And so we felt like any design that we would work on really need to sort of work within that module and help express that module, while at the same time mitigating between what is a much larger building that is going to be constructed closer to the corner, and then our smaller, more fine-scale, two-story structure that exists on the existing building that's on the river side of the site. Initially, when we looked at it, we started sketching out some just basic options that really sort of picked up on that what we saw was a three-bay design for the site, which is what the original cladding was for the site. It was three bays. The first couple of iterations that we looked at really were working with a symmetrical design, and we felt like the symmetrical designs unfortunately kind of drew attention to the building as a larger singular statement. The asymmetrical designs that we started moving towards seem to help us situate the building within the grain of the block structure a little bit better. Also, to having some setback at the upper floor so that we had a little bit more gradual stepping up from our two-story to the adjacent five-story building. And it just ended up giving us a little bit more variation in those facades that I think helped respect what we would see as the typical module or increment of the urbanism on the older building fabric that's within the context, both across the street and adjacent to it. And that's where we developed the scheme of really a combination of a masonry, glass, and metal panel vocabulary. Expressing itself as this four-story component with a glass mansard at the fifth-story component, and this more slender piece that negotiates between the new building on the what would be, I guess, the lake side or the non-river side of the property. And so this was our initial concept as far as a strategy and how to help situate this within that block fabric in a sensitive way, but in a way that still, you know, achieve the goal of having a singular new building within that space. And we're showing the same strategy, same compositional strategy for both the St. Joseph and the Diamond Street block base. And honestly, guys, it's just because it is the same sort of massing that we're trying to negotiate between the much bigger building on the corner and then our two-story finer building fabric that's existing on the river side of the site. So I really am just interested to hear more what you guys have to say at this point. I don't think we have any other comments at this point other than that we did feel like symmetrical just seemed to emphasize it as a big thing, whereas what we're trying to do is have it as a somewhat contextual and more in line with what the scale of some of the frontages are on Diamond Street.
I agree with that. I think the asymmetrical is much better, and before I even got to your 3D drawings, I was already thinking, gosh, would it be nice if that top floor, I was actually thinking maybe those large windows became dormers, but when I saw that you were actually doing this mansard treatment, I think it's smart because it reduces the scale of the block, the main piece. And I like the fact that you're changing materials between the two. What is the material of the taller piece?
The taller piece right now is we're looking at a metal panel for that component. Okay. And to try and pick up on some of the warehouse sort of industrial textures that we see out there.
And what would then in the mansard, would that be roofing material between the windows, or is that metal?
Metal as well.
Okay. Is that called out somewhere?
No. Okay. No, we you know, this was so early along, guys, sort of figured.
Do you think you'd match the metal of the tall piece or use something different? I think it'd be nice, actually, I'll tell you, I think it'd be nice to use something different.
Okay.
So it doesn't feel like this L that's holding
the
brick piece. But I like the fact that you're looking at brick for the, it looks like you're looking at brick for the
that's
main
correct.
Block.
I think it's a good start, I really do. And I think the scale is appropriate. And I think the subdivision into the more vertical, I guess it's about 20 foot wide piece, and then to double that. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good start. The one thing that I'm not so fond of, though, is the sloped glass on the Diamond Street side. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's often that sloped glass is kind of an indication of a studio-like condition. Mm-hmm. And as you know, you've got a pure northern and a pure southern exposure. Mm-hmm. The Diamond Street side is the southern exposure. Mm-hmm. I think you'd be much better off with vertical glazing, so mm-hmm. to not let so much sun, I mean, mm-hmm. it's gonna be an absolute killer. Mm-hmm. And just set it back and let it be a little roof terrace, mm-hmm. you know, it'd be mm-hmm. great. Mm-hmm. And then on the north side, it makes sense to have the slope, and then mm-hmm. it's a traditional north facing, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it could be really cool. Mm-hmm. But I would make that difference. I think vertical wall with a roof terrace on the mm-hmm. diamond, and then a pitched mm-hmm. mansard studio mm-hmm. light.
The solar condition differentiate.
Yeah. And then also you get a roof terrace, mm-hmm. you know, which mm-hmm. would be a major amenity mm-hmm. on that street. It's an absolutely wonderful street, mm-hmm. as you know.
Do you have the square footage to do that?
I'll have to look at it. It's a pretty bespoke site.
I think it's a good idea. I just
I mean, I agree with both Lee and John's comments. You know, probably the only thing I would have to add are just some proportional things, like mm-hmm. making sure, you know, you have a lintel indicated for the lower openings. I would try to add a lintel above the four floor openings. There's slight proportions, like I feel like the side windows of these, of this sort of the brick building mm-hmm. could come mm-hmm. in a little bit. Yeah. I just feel like that pilaster is a little bit skinny. Yeah, like yeah. I feel like you can tighten mm-hmm. up yeah. this rhythm so uh-huh. that it matches
yeah.
that. And then, you know, I think that would also help sort of, because it seems, you know, thin on the uh-huh. sides. And the, but I mean, you know, I agree. I think I like the asymmetrical. It really blocks, it really mm-hmm. lends itself to that block.
Okay. I think the other opportunity is with the storefront on the ground floor. Mm-hmm. The canopy, I think, is a nice touch, and that would occur on both elevations, yes? So that's sort of correct. A lobby, and that's a mm-hmm. lobby entrance.
Yes, so that's how it works.
But the other two, the sort of generic storefront things, mm-hmm. I think those could be much more interesting architecturally. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. there's, I mean, I'm not sure about the, you know, the bilateral symmetry mm-hmm. or, mm-hmm. you know, what the, I mean, it, right now they just look like placeholders, it's not really designed mm-hmm. yet, mm-hmm. so I think mm-hmm. they designed something to be a lot more interesting on that street.
I think one of the things that we would probably, as that storefront would develop, mm-hmm. the, you know, how the transom bar proportion is articulated, I agree, John, I mean, it is very much a placeholder at this point, so actually just the division of the fenestration, I think, could do some study.
Yeah.
Currently, we're showing the intent of perhaps a stone kick or a stone panel at the base. It might be worth looking at, are those differentiated where some of the glass yeah. is coming down and yeah, some exactly. of that is actually sitting up, so I think that's all good direction to continue the development.
Yeah, I mean, I like in the sketch sort of how the storefront and the brick building is sort of is recessed back. Mm-hmm. Same thing with the storefront element or the window elements in the skinnier building and mm-hmm. how it adds a depth of plane and a hierarchy yeah. of mm-hmm. surfaces. Mm-hmm. So
okay,
that would be one way of starting to
start to get it dialed into that mm-hmm. next scale of resolution.
Yeah, it's a good start.
The pilasters on the ends, I agree with you. It's the middle one actually seems a little overstated. Yeah, I think that's like definitely just, a good thing
tweaks.
To point out.
Okay. So are we here for massing conceptual approval with proportions and details to?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're comfortable with the massing at this juncture.
I am, with the exception of that, I don't think the symmetrical condition of the south and north facades with respect to that diagonal is smart. I think it's bad design. Yeah. So I'm really not comfortable with that.
So we could just defer it at this point and have them
sort of...
I think we should see it again.
Well, definitely see it again, but maybe not move forward with any approvals at this point. Let them sort of keep working, see it again.
I mean, we would appreciate just some surety to the client that the massing and the overall conceptual strategy is in alignment with ARC. We totally expected to come back, guys. I mean, this is a pretty big statement for the street. So, and we wanted to give you guys more material and detail information as well in a second meeting.
Well, with the exception of that south-facing mansard, I'm certainly comfortable with the massing and the direction, the architectural direction of the project.
Same here.
Conceptual approval.
Yes, yeah. Further study of the southern
of the southern facade on the top floor. Yeah.
And then the proportion components as well.
Yes.
We want to see development.
Yeah.
Yeah, further development of the facades.
Sure.
So is there a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
It wasn't public comment.
Oh, there is public comment?
No, I'm asking.
No.
All in public comment?
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank
we'll
you.
See you all in a bit.
The next item is 215 Chapatula Street.
Okay. I'm waiting for the day when we're not printing these.
I know.
Chapatula?
ladies and gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Ray Bergeron, and this is my client, Tom Bowman.
I haven't been here for about 15 years.
Welcome back.
Building that was with double T framing, concrete framing, and the Mr. Bowe's client purchased the property with the intent of building a timeshare project, and with the maximizing the property as much as possible as four units. So the scope of the project basically started off as a 41 to 48 unit timeshare with the ground floor to be open to be used for a lobby and an atrium entry area and and some parking area, and of course to accommodate some of the stormwater issue. So we were dealing with existing utilities coming in and an existing structure. The 50-foot height limitation governed the floor-to-floor area, and the first design that we did was to the concept was to demolish a second floor and build above, so we could try to get it more than 6 to 9 foot ceiling heights. And that worked out, except that the cost to demolish that building presented a problem, so we revised the design. So the first design that was submitted to the board actually was the second floor, with the second floor demolished, and so we subsequently submitted now the revised, and the design problem we are presented with is an issue of ceiling height, where the first floor is 11.6, the second floor is 11. We are down, so the upper floors then end up with an 8.7 ceiling height, and we are considering that we may want to go ask for a 3 foot height variance. If it's feasible to try to add another foot to each floor on the upper floor. The scope of the project basically is 12 units per floor, with a penthouse design setback to reduce some of the height and to create a finish to the building. The client preferred to have the openness of the downstairs, more of a traditional arch concept. However, the design challenge that we ended up with is to expose, when we kept the second floor in, the framing was exposed, ended up being flush with the facade on the property line, so we couldn't, and we were using brick veneer, so we said let that be expressed. So the adding of the second floor back in to the project I wanted to emphasize the fact that it was still there for, let's say, historic impact. However, it changed the symmetry concept initially to be a little more asymmetrical. So what you see in the elevation is the expression at the second level creating a horizontal with the columns off of the grid that was initially developed to make the units work. So it's a design challenge, but the point is that we're still in the preliminary stages of this development. So what we are here to really get feedback on the commission's feeling about whether the how much of the historic aspect of the existing project should be incorporated into the building. We felt that may be an asset that would gain us some allowance for a height increase to make the units more marketable. So the finishes that we decided to use, and which the client preferred, is a dark bronze top and bottom with a brownish brick in the middle, with a dark bronze trim around the windows and a fixed window concept. The rendering pretty much shows generally what we had in mind, but we still, I just want to make sure that you understand that I'm still in the refinement process of this rendering. I think it needs more detail, etc., but we will get to that. I wanted to get feedback from the board basically on the prospect of what do you think the prospect of getting a 3-foot variance, height variance, and then of course feedback on where we're headed, where the architecture is headed.
I think you're going to have trouble with your variance because I don't know how you prove hardship.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
You need to prove hardship for a variance, and I'm not certain where your hardship comes from.
Well, you have to provide 7 points, 7 or 9 points of hardship, and you have to meet all 9 points.
And one of them can't be for
financial benefit.
Financial gain, right.
So I don't see that as being an avenue that's probably going to.
But I do think that we've got a problem right now with scale. And unfortunately, we're not getting block elevations, and I'm particularly concerned about the Gravier Street elevation, because you're right next to a whole series of traditional, what looks to me from the aerial is 19th century masonry buildings.
Right here, right?
Right in there, yeah, exactly.
So if you were to, if you were to extend your drawing and show these elevations right here.
We need to see that block face.
I think we would have to see that.
We've got a model right here, which kind of demonstrates.
I think what we're talking about probably is floor to floor heights.
That's what we're talking
about. As the new building relates to the.
And then also proportions and.
To your building relates to these. We like to, in this committee, we really like to see the floor to floor heights match as much. I mean, not exactly, but the relative scale of the.
But my suspicion is that the floor to floor heights on the 19th century. Buildings adjacent to your building are going to be in the order of 12 feet or maybe even more. And so with a 9 foot, what's this floor to floor, 9'4", 9'6"?
9'2", or something.
I mean, it's going to look like a miniature building. And I think that's going to be really difficult.
9'2", and it's a challenge that a lot of people face when they try to do this. So, I mean, it's not new to you, but
But there's ways of achieving it using an elevation, you know, but it's other than just punched windows. It's, you know, kind of ganging your windows and doing, you know.
And doing a two-story thing with the, yeah.
You know, that there's ways of overcoming this scale issue, you know, but.
Perhaps doing a more solid base, and then in the middle doing windows that are ganged within bays, but so that it disguises the fact that your floor to floors are so low. Mm-hmm. We've seen that done successfully.
That's right. That hotel, I'm thinking, that's nearby.
The Cambria
does that pretty successfully nearby.
And I also think that the existing building has, you know, I think kind of keeping it but not keeping it, I think, is not the right direction.
Yeah.
Can you even build a three-story addition on top of an existing building?
The guidelines don't allow for that.
Okay. So the guidelines alone do not allow for a three-story addition on top of an existing building.
Correct.
Okay. So first of all, that's...
Is this non-contributing? That might be different.
It can't be too high.
No.
So, I mean, I see that as one issue. I see the other issue is that, okay, if we're going to keep the existing building, there seems to be a complete disregard for the original. You're expressing the original structure on the second floor, but it's completely ignored on the second floor and the upper floor.
So and the first floor.
In the first floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's right, the first floor.
But it has a design, it has some integrity of its own.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that
it's a classic, you know, concrete frame, mid-century modern masonry infill building. So it seems like the way to think about this is not one sort of neo-traditional floor, then a kind of frame left over from something, then two more floors, then another floor. It would be to think about the first two floors together. And doing things on the first floor, obviously you want a lot more opening on the first floor. I wouldn't introduce traditional architectural elements from the 19th century. That doesn't seem to have anything to do with anything. And then the second floor, then there'd be some demarcation, stronger demarcation between the second floor and the next two floors would be thought about together. Maybe a change in brick color or a slight setback or something. And then I think you're right, the top floor would then become a penthouse and it's its own thing. So that part seems to make sense.
The glass of the penthouse could evoke the sort of design of the current. Mm-hmm. Can you go to the corner picture? I mean, there's a nice design intent to what's happening at that corner.
That's a really good idea.
Vocabulary could be used.
That's
in
a great
other
idea.
Editions.
That's a great idea.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
I didn't hear it either.
I was saying that. Perhaps you could use some of the language that's used in the glass portions of the existing structure, sort of like a Mondrian sort of organization of blocks that could be used for the design of the upper floor.
I'm sorry,
of the fifth floor. Okay, so what Elner's pointing out is that the most interesting aspect of the existing building is what's happening on either side of the corner where the curtain wall has some architectural character. And what she's saying is that it might be possible to use that as a design inspiration for what you're doing with the design of the facades on the top floor, and that would then start to tie the building together in a way that could be pretty interesting.
It'd also be interesting, and I know this is challenging, but I think it'd be amazing if you could incorporate this entrance into your building.
Yeah,
because this is a little jewel right here.
It is.
I have to say that I'm hard pressed to see.
Yeah.
You know, there's not a lot of architecture past that corner.
That's right.
But I agree with what was said earlier that maybe the way to think about this is to keep this keep the first two floors as close to what they are as possible.
Yeah. And punch openings in the second floor, obviously.
And then make your new building a plinth that sits on top of this, but is of this vocabulary, as Elner's saying. I think it's a great opportunity. I do have a question. Why are you keeping the building?
Well, first of all, you need to understand the front fourth of the building on the ground floor is a porte-cochere.
Right.
And
so it's already there, and it works for what
you need. Right, and it works.
Yeah.
and I like the idea of the clad metal on the bottom portion of the building and the clad metal in the penthouse area. I thought maybe we could extend the clad metal into the second floor, at least up to that one of those concrete barriers, and it might change the look a little bit.
I think you've got to respect that frame. You've got to respect that frame on both levels. I mean, you can do a bronze infill, certainly, maybe on.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
But it's not shown that way in these drawings. In these drawings, it shows that the frame on the first floor is disappeared, mm-hmm. and we think the frame is an important aspect of the existing building. Mm-hmm. So that you'd want to let that frame run from the top of the second floor down to the ground the way it does right now.
In other words, with the same material, is that what you're saying?
Not necessarily saying the same, but it no. express, like those concrete columns and beams, let them be express, and maybe in between them insert, you know, sort of metal panel.
Clad metal.
Yeah, could be a clad metal. We don't suggest an arched opening. It's not of this style, and nor is it that this particular arch style, it doesn't fit within the context of the neighborhood either. I mean, there's very few arched openings in there. I think August is like one of the rare.
So would the openings you would suggest would be more square?
Yes. More true to the existing concrete frame. Because that frame is already working with the openings. I mean, you've got a span there that's successful with that concrete. So to suggest an arch, I mean, I think your challenge is going to be. And it's an exciting one, actually. I mean, this is a really fun project.
It's a wonderful neighborhood.
Yeah. No, but the challenge is going to be your proportions.
Is that
you've got a two-story building that's existing, and then you've only got so much height left over to sit something on top of it. And are they required to set this back? They really aren't, are they? No.
I don't think you are required, but if it does get set back, is 3 feet enough? Because if you're full 50 feet, are you full 50 feet?
They don't have to set the penthouse back, do they?
Because
not within the building.
They're only setting it back on one side, it looks like.
Two sides.
But I guess where I'm going with this is just, I can see the challenge of, can you bring the slide up that shows this, or is this in one of the slides?
No.
Okay, sorry. So the challenge is going to be working with the similar dimension, and then setting, and then making a third. I think it's going to be a lot easier architecturally to make this and then this.
Yeah.
A two and a three.
Mm-hmm. Do you know if this has multimodal? Is this a multimodal?
Pedestrian.
Multimodal?
Corridor.
Yeah.
None of this is going to work because you're going to have retail on the ground floor, and there's like a ton of requirements that this isn't meeting.
And because it's a substantial renovation, you have to meet BFE.
Not retail on the ground floor.
BFE. If you're in a multimodal pedestrian corridor, you're required.
It's not retail.
Parking does not require. I would maybe suggest going to a meeting with city planning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because you may have some requirements that are going to change.
Well, we started
this
with city planning.
Okay.
And
they said they didn't have any. We even went to the trouble of having the neighborhood meetings and everything.
Okay, so, but.
Good.
Okay.
Nobody showed up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, there's no, I don't know of any requirement for the ground floor use other than what we have proposed here.
If you're on a multimodal pedestrian corridor, you're required to have a certain percentage of the ground floor to be commercial space. It's part of the multimodal pedestrian corridor rules.
Part of the reason for all the openings was, at least in the future, they would be structured so it could be commercial space.
Right. But that
you don't
think
you don't know what the demand is at this point.
And then, you have all existing curb cuts, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So that wouldn't be an issue.
Mm-hmm. But so that would just be the one thing to make sure of, because we've seen projects
I'm going to tell you, you were misinformed with whoever you met with at City Planning. I can tell you from going through this personally. I'm just, you don't have, I would really suggest going and meeting back with somebody with city planning, because you have issues in terms of sight lines, screening structure, and I've gotten burned myself, so I would, I would highly suggest going back, because it's going to really impact your design.
I mean, we were there.
I know, and...
Well, and they may not be. They may not be.
It might not be because of where it is.
But right now, the whole ground floor is parking.
But even with the terms of parking and sight lines and all that.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like we have a lot of comment.
Yes, I think we need to make...
Is there any public comment on this proposal?
I have a question. Ray, did you, do you know who designed the building? Did that come up?
No. I don't know.
I'd be really interested.
Yeah, I'd be interested too. But I mean, we simply have to see block elevations, particularly of Gravier Street. That's an absolute requirement. Not massing, and for Chop Tool, we have to see the existing facades in relation to this facade to get a sense of the scale. And I think it's going to be difficult because of this very, very tight floor-to-floor height that you're working with, but we got to see it.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
I would just say, it might not, though. It might, I don't think it's going to be nearly as difficult if you go back to the language of the existing building and make this something entirely different.
Well, I like that. And I also think that thinking about the third and fourth floors together rather than as individual floors is going to be really helpful.
And for this whole...
Or as Lee's saying, possibly even 3, 4, and 5 being a similar vocabulary. I don't know about that. I kind of like the break at the top of the fourth floor.
Could you all spoon feed that to me? I got a little
lost. All going to be in a letter. Don't worry.
I would kind of like to understand what we're talking about.
Okay.
So the issue is that we think that treating them as individual floors with individual punched openings, the scale's not going to work with the adjacent context. So the idea of treating those three floors as kind of a one compositional element,
or at least the two, at least three and
or
four.
Or at least three and four, floors three and four is one compositional element, is going to be more successful.
So if we went with the metal clad, for example, are you saying you'd bring the penthouse flush with the rest of the building? And
that's one thing to look at. It's one thing to look at. See, we don't really know because you're not giving us a drawing that shows the proposed facade in relation to the existing buildings, and that's what we're here to really work with.
Okay, because the white horizontal is the existing.
Yeah, but we don't see the scale of the openings on the.
Yeah, but there are significant buildings. One of the slides shows that there are significant buildings right here and here.
Well, there's a 39 foot building next to it.
Yeah.
And there's two more, and then there's a high rise of about.
Go back one graph.
No.
So, but do you see the scale? How the scale of the floor to floors is really evident on the buildings adjacent to it? Understanding how your scale on a floor to floor from floor to floor matches with the scale of the buildings adjacent is what we're trying to ascertain, and we don't have that drawn. So that's the problem.
So like in the project that was just presented, how they're showing they're showing this building in side by side with the adjacent building, just so we can understand the proportions,
so
how they relate to each other.
We're not concerned about the overall scale of the building in relationship to the scale of the neighboring buildings. We're trying to understand the scale of the facade.
That's right.
Breakdown in relationship to the scale of the facades of the other buildings.
So are you suggesting, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, I'm just trying to understand, the fifth and fourth floor would be of a
finish? We don't know, is the thing.
And then the next two would be of a different finish?
We don't know, because we don't have those drawn, so it's really hard to say.
I think that's up to Ray. I think Ray's heard all of our suggestions, and I think, as your architect, he would be the best one to sort of figure out, do you treat the third and the fourth together? Is the fourth and the fifth together? But I think coming back here, we do need to see the building, whatever that revised design is.
And you may want to show us some alternatives. You may want to do three or four alternatives, and we can talk about the alternatives. But right now, we're stymied by not having sufficient information. And so I think, obviously, we need to defer this and get it to come back.
So we had a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
quick one.
Yeah, and Greg, why don't you, why don't we set up an interim meeting with the staff before the next ARC, just so that we can go through it and make sure we're on the right path?
Okay.
Okay.
The next item is 1114 Constance Street.
So this one is coming back. We had approved it back in November. There are going to be some changes that are going to be presented for the cladding and the massing of the building. And just so the last recommendation was to conceptual approval of the details to be worked on at the staff level. The ARC agreed that the changes had created a more cohesive design that fits in the context, and they recommended keeping the elevator tower and the parapet cap flashing the same color as the main massing. So you guys want to go ahead and...
Yes.
So...
Okay.
So...
We need this model here.
You can take
up,
it.
We'll pick up later.
Okay.
I got somebody.
Sorry, go ahead.
So the project, as approved before, had come in 30% over budget. So we went through a VE process while working to maintain the spirit of what was approved before. So the two main changes, as Anna said, are the overall height of the building has reduced, but we've still maintained the general massing and proportions that were approved previously. And then the second thing is the siding. So the metal siding had come in 4 to 5 times more per square foot than the original board and batten that we had proposed. So we're proposing to return to the board and batten. And so we have some precedents here that show how we intend to detail the board and batten so that it still maintains kind of the look and feel of what the painted metal panel would have looked like. And we actually feel that it works better with the simplified proportions, or the simplified height, if you look at the perspectives towards the end of this. So those are the two main things.
The massing is definitely improved.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so one thing to note, just that third floor roof terrace is now off the project. So essentially the elevator rises to the third floor with a mechanical penthouse up there, but that's no longer publicly accessible. So that was the main, that got us about 20% of the way where we needed to be, and then the last 10% was the cladding, which was...
I think the massing change actually makes it better.
I'm still surprised that you're articulating that elevator thing so much with color. I mean, it's not a very important aspect of the project. It already has its own logic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why you would need to make it a contrasting color is not very clear to me. But that's not even in our jurisdiction, I expect. Okay, so board and batten, boy, in the warehouse district, I don't know. Are there any of your examples in the warehouse district?
So we have a couple commercial examples in there, but there's a residential example, the OJT house. It's the second
that's
image at the top.
And that's not in the warehouse district.
Right.
I
think that really our challenge here is that we're very cost constrained, and we wanted to do something that could, when painted, give the same profile as a metal panel without the potential for oil canning. And just knowing where this client sits, cost wise, and what they have to fund the project with, we really wanted to avoid a 26 gauge metal panel that would oil can immediately, and just sort of waffle out there with the board and batten, and with 5/4 inch hardy panels. We're going to be very, very diligent during CA to make sure that things are going up nice and smooth. But really, it's just about the end product and how it looks from the street. And so this was what we feel like is the best solution given what we have to work with financially. it's not, again, it's not ideal. We're just, you know, we're back here because of a, you know, basically the project was halted until we could bring it within the budget, so.
The bottom left example, is that metal or?
No, that's board and batten.
Yeah, it's got the, you know, the split face CMU at the bottom, but the entire wall is.
I don't know. It just seems highly anti-contextual to me. Mm-hmm.
But a couple other things that just to put a little bit more context to this. This is an interesting site in that the other uses, aside from the existing Rusty Nail on the block, are residential. Additionally, one interesting thing about this project is that the fire district actually runs right down John Churchill Chase. So technically, this project is not in the fire district. And so we felt though as though that was quite an interesting condition and using things that were slightly different material, you know, in a way it highlights the existence of that invisible boundary. You know, whether or not that's relevant to the conversation, I don't know, but I felt like, you know, at least for us, it helped justify what we had to work with.
There is, one of the unique things about this kind of site is the kind of residential material, the shift to residential materials on this block.
I agree.
That this is a, you know, this site, you know, has the, you know, that it's a really noticeable thing is that these buildings on this block are clad in weatherboards and not, that are, you know, that shift occurs right there.
It does, yeah.
And I think that is a pretty predominant.
Well, then maybe it should be weatherboards.
It's definitely a transition that that whole artery is, it's of the warehouse district, but it's definitely of the lower garden district. I also think that the massing that you come up with, which I find seductive and playful, also lends itself to another material, to an other material, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I think that you're right adjacent to the Rusty Nail with its siding, wooden siding, I think also is a strong argument for the hardy board. I mean, the hardy board is that what you're using?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hardy board, you know, is mimicking wood. I mean, it's supposed to look like wood, and I think it does it pretty well. I agree with John. This is maybe, again, not in our jurisdiction, but as a designer, I completely agree with his comment about the elevator. I think it would be much more successful if that elevator column were the same material, or I'm sorry, the same color and treatment as the gray building that it grows out of.
I would be first to agree with you, and I, you know, we will certainly try to convince the owner to do
kind
that.
Of a mine shaft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It calls a little too much, you know, attention to itself. Yeah.
But I don't have an issue with the material. I will say, I think Eleanor's question jumped out at me when she asked in that other image, is that one metal panel, one with the split CMU, which I really don't like the split CMU on that project, but that one is evocative of metal panel still.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I was actually going to say, because the battens, you have more.
They're close.
They're wide. Yeah, that's why I said using the 5/4 at a 16-inch spacing is.
But I'm saying in this pattern versus that, is you need almost double
the closeness. Sure. We can certainly detail it that way.
And that I think might help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not.
Right, you want the corrugations to be close enough together.
It's
where
just how it's currently rendered just feels very out of context, and I think maybe doubling the number of battens might help.
I think that's a really good comment, and we can definitely make that change. The other thing too is that I think you're right. There's something about just the spacing of those lines that really helps tie it together. With the wood screen that's on the exterior,
mm-hmm. It's much tighter.
Oh, that's good. That makes sense.
And the other change was just the screening on the stair.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, that stair, it basically came from a three-story. It used to sort of wrap up to when we had that. It was a fire escape essentially, and so now it's you know.
Yeah, I prefer the modifications. It was a little.
So yeah, basically.
No, I think the
planted screen
size of the thing helped it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So do we have a motion, Ashley?
Motion for
office approval with modifications to the batten spacing.
And I think, yeah. And I would add to be reviewed at staff level.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Of
always.
Always.
Does this need to go back to commission?
No.
Is there a second? Right. The motion?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
John?
No.
You're opposed?
Yeah.
So the motion fails.
Why does it fail?
Because you...
Ellie doesn't vote.
I don't vote anymore.
So it's, I guess, two to one, so I guess it would still pass.
Yeah, no, that still passes.
Okay, sorry.
We're good.
Mate passes.
I think, wait, we need three, because
no,
Robbie...
because there's four. Yeah, we have
so three. We're just at bare quorum today, is the issue.
Because yeah, but if a majority of the quorum votes for
no, because it's three, because Robbie and Brooks are also, in essence, voting by not being here.
I don't think that's right.
That is right.
That's how
you know better than me.
Can they send in proxies?
No.
No. So your concern is the precedent
material
aspect of it, John?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to be a, you know, person to stop the project, but I did want to register my my concern about it. So I'll just not vote.
No.
Also not allowed.
Also not allowed.
Yes, it is.
No,
it's
no.
I can always.
No.
Come
no.
on.
No.
Then what kind of rules are you?
It's Robert's rules.
No,
and you can't abstain unless you have a financial interest in the project.
That's,
you
want to
make a
I
quick investment?
That's correct. I'm pretty
I
sure
it is.
About this.
Yeah. So.
Mr. Kleeman, is there anything in particular we could do to address your concern more?
Yeah, you
more?
Could make it out of metal. I mean, I'm just, you know, I just don't think Gordon Batten in the warehouse district is a contextually appropriate material. But I will say, I mean, with what Ashley's talking about, if you modify the spacing, maybe you do a little mock-up or something for the staff so they can see how
certainly.
It's going to look.
Be happy to
so
do
it
that.
Doesn't look like a rural
Absolutely.
Barn Batten
Definitely
building.
Not. We wouldn't accept it.
Okay, then I'll change my vote.
Okay.
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 Right.
So
thank you so much.
And we will make sure to show you the mock-up and make sure that you are involved.
Excellent.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have to re-vote.
No, I think we got it.
Okay.
All right. The next item is 822 Run Street.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And don't forget your chops.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
There you go.
Okay.
Do you want to sit here so you can hear?
I may come up, yeah.
Okay. Hi.
Mike. Good
morning.
You can sit right here if you want.
Come sit over here.
I don't mind.
They've never offered a seat at the table before.
There you go.
I'm flattered.
Corner position. It's a tough match.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm Joel Ross from Concordia. This is Natalie DeLisa Hello. From Concordia. So this project is a pretty straightforward proposal of a restoration, preservation, and a return to what once was there regarding the balcony at 822 Barone. Three-story masonry American townhouse that's fallen into disrepair and has a lot of deferred maintenance. Over the years, it has a non-original storefront condition to the lower right-hand side of the building that's been used for offices, for as long as I can remember, which is about 10 years. And we have pictures from the 1960s there in the lower right showing that punched opening dating all the way to then. We have a photograph of the inside on the lower left-hand side of page 3 that actually shows a transom condition that elevates the opening there to match the datum of the punched opening, the punched doorway opening to the residence. So our intention is to bring that back to elevate the opening size to that height to let in some additional light. And to match
our neighbor, Mr. DePlanche's building to the left, which is a mirrored townhouse, and to match his balcony condition as well on the second floor, and then a roof above. So it'll be a removal of that fire escape, restoration of the stucco that's cracking, some structural repair to address that settling, and then restoration of the rear facade, or the side facade that shares a little alley with 824 Broom that you can see in that middle picture.
Are you getting tax credits?
Yes.
Have they reviewed your proposal?
Yes. We have our part one and part two, and then we walked through with Crystal from Shipley.
Good.
I mean, it's pretty obvious that these buildings were a pair.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
And I guess what I'm looking to see is the front elevation, the proposed front elevation of the project that you're involved in, with the twin shown. Is there some reason you didn't do that? It seems so obvious.
Well, the original drawing, actually, from the Material Archives had only our building shown. I don't know if that justifies not showing our neighbor there, but...
But it is going to match.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's that seems like that's the whole point of this entry. So this entry becomes a mirror of the entry in the building next door.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So the storefront, the wooden storefront detail would match what's on the twin building?
So we're proposing keeping the stucco there, and actually it's right now it's squared on the second and third stories. What we would do is do all the smooth stucco all the way through.
So
we would match the trim condition on the entryway and then elevate the opening to match that as well, but
it would only match the trim condition of the entryway, the elevated entryway.
Nature of the story.
No. And all I'm talking about is, so if you're going to go ahead and touch.
Do you have the pointer?
Yes.
Oh,
no,
here.
So if you're going to touch this opening, that bottom sill or plinth could match that. I mean, that's just a simple millwork if you're touching that. And then sort of that, and so where that pilaster actually sits on that plinth. It's just tweaks to your detail and what you're proposing, just so it goes back to...
Well, it's
they
really
just
decorative, though.
Well, yeah, and it doesn't go back to the original condition. The original condition was a single double-hung window that was at the same level as the first floor level, which is roughly 3 feet above the grade there.
So all of this is a later modification.
Yes, so all of it is later modifications.
But I guess you're saying try as hard as you can to match what's going on the adjacent building storefront.
Yeah. Well, there they have an inset... door.
I'm not saying you have to inset the door. I'm just saying that pilaster, just the plinth, that's just a slight change in terms of the relationship to the pilaster and the plinth.
Yeah.
At that opening. Pull the plinth over
to
give something for the pilaster to sit. Just it's a tweak.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's easy. I agree. I don't think they have to match.
Yeah.
But you are matching the entrance, all the surrounds.
All the pieces
of the
entrance
are going to match the neighbor building.
That's correct.
Do you have a public comment? Would you like to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Eleanor.
You have 2 minutes, and please keep your comments to the aesthetics of the
project. I will, but I actually have a 1924 photo of the building, which is, I'm here really for information. I'm not opposed or supporting my neighbor, it's just my new neighbor, but just, I know these buildings like the back of my hand. Not only are they twin buildings, they're actually mirror image buildings. They were built by Henry Howard, obviously together. Mm-hmm. The buildings have a common wall, they have a common attic, we have common joists. They're basically built as one building with a common wall down the middle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But for almost 100 years now, maybe more, as you can see, the both ground floors were altered. Yeah. And so the original, the configuration on 822 looks pretty much the same in this year as it did almost 100 years ago. But I do think, quite honestly, if I may express an architectural opinion, I think the recessed doorway that we have, which we did not put in, it was there when we moved there in 81, but it looks much better. I think a recessed door, it has a much more attractive appearance than a I couldn't quite tell whether you're proposing the recessed entranceway there, but I do think it is far more attractive than not doing so. The balcony, I'm very excited about the balcony. You'll notice that they had already removed the balcony.
Yeah.
There are actually elements of that balcony that are on the second floor of A22 right now. They broke up the balcony for some strange reason and took pieces of it and stuck it on the second floor. So we know exactly what the design looks like, and I'm hoping that they'll match that design.
Mm-hmm.
And the surrounds are beautiful. Mm-hmm. The first floor surrounds are beautiful. You know, it's an exciting opportunity to get this building back the way it was, or close to the way it was. The only comment I would make, it's not being restored to its original condition, that's for sure, but I don't know that it ever will be or should be, quite honestly.
Right.
Having the two double-hung windows, as were mentioned, is we have a couple of, at least one example in the block where someone did that, but they were using it strictly for office purposes and using their ground floor. We use it for our own retail business, and it's frankly, it's been that building, both buildings have been retail on the ground floor off and on since about 1890 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And they were built in 1860. So for most of their 160-year life, they've been ground floor retail.
It's your time.
Thank you.
Thanks, this is great.
Any more discussion?
Motion?
He has a motion for approval with his details worked out at the staff table.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.
Yes.
This doesn't need ARC commission. It's restoration.
Restoration.
This is great. Okay.
This is
Okay.